Hello, welcome to Strange Love of Movies. My name is Olivia Martinez, and this is the 10th episode of the Coen Brothers series, and we're talking about Intolerable Cruelty. This is one of their lesser known films, I'd say. I mean, I had never even heard of it before I did this series, which is strange because it stars George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones. So, I mean, two no names, am I right? But this is kind of a romantic comedy, and it's actually really funny. I was surprised by how much I like this movie.
Yeah, like I mentioned before on Coen Brothers films, if I don't like it the first time, there's a good chance I'll like it the second time. Mm-hmm. And this might even be the third time we saw it. I'm not sure, but I did like it a lot more, and I found it a lot funnier than I did the first time. Yeah. And it was interesting because George Clooney is so charming.
He's the best.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, so beautiful. Oh. It was amazing pairing, and it was really old school Hollywood screwball comedy with updated, you know, language and a scenario where he plays this divorce attorney and she plays a quote unquote money hungry wife.
And I think this was actually a hit when it came out. It's more, I think, more commercially accessible than a lot of Coen Brothers movies. I mean, the fact is most Coen Brothers movies are very entertaining.
Yeah, there's some quirkiness, but not as much as there usually is.
Yes. And both of them were great in their roles. And both characters are appropriately despicable.
There are just so many decisions about this movie that don't make any sense to me. Like, why does the cover look like that? It looks like it was just another one of those throwaway rom-coms. Like, you wouldn't think it was the Coen Brothers if you saw that cover.
The cover of the film. The DVD.
Yeah, it just looks bad. I don't know. It just looks cheap. I don't know. There's something about it. And there are just so many questions I have about the movie itself. Like, how it looks. I mean, of course, it's directed well. It's by the Coen Brothers. But it doesn't have that normal flair. And there are just a lot of things. Were they, like, moving, doing different technology or different cameras?
Well,
or
but just, again, it's like we watched it on a DVD, an old DVD that fair. You brought.
Remember
home.
The resolution? It was like, what, do you want me to adjust that? I don't think you can.
I will so say really I definitely that, rented yeah. this from Swem Library.
Thank you, Swem.
Thank you, William.
So Murray. I think it may not be the film stock or whatever they were shooting it on. I think it's maybe just what we were watching it on.
Oh, and okay, get this, fair. It was the most expensive film that they've ever made.
That's so weird to me, too.
$60 million now. Those are two big stars. I mean, Catherine Zeta-Jones, she doesn't make many movies, hasn't made many movies recently. She's in, was it Wednesday that's on?
Is that
Netflix?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's her comeback, but she was as big as they get back then. And that was, I can imagine she got $10 million and he got $20 million. So there's half your budget. You know?
Right. And this was this before or after she won the Oscar for Chicago?
I think it was after. And that also makes a big difference. And this is also after Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? So they had worked with Clooney before, and clearly he's a really easy actor to work with.
He's a favorite of theirs.
Yes, he definitely is. And he is perfect for this role. I mean,
he's great at making fun of himself.
So yeah. good. This movie is so silly. And it's so funny and terrible of me because he is a revolting person. Like, he's a terrible character, yet I'm still on his side over her side, even though they're probably both just as despicable.
Yeah.
There's just something about George Clooney. It's just, but maybe that's honestly, I don't want to get all like philosophical or whatever, but maybe that's like some weird inherent sexism part in my part. Like, I think of Catherine Zeta-Jones as like the temptress and this annoying, but I mean, he's just as bad.
Yes, and he's taking advantage of people. Yeah, they're divorced.
Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. I don't want to look too much into myself though. Let's not do that right now. But I will say one of our favorite parts of this film involves a dog in a courtroom.
Yes. The surprise witness in her divorce trial.
This ridiculous guy who, there are multiple characters in this film who we said could have been played by Martin Short. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. The guy, he was a baron who was working as a concierge in the Alps, you know, some ski lodge in the Alps. But
doesn't make any sense.
Somebody has to make a living. And he testifies with his little white dog, holding his little white dog on the stand. And he talks about the silly man. There is a silly man. It's so overly dramatic. That was probably the most Coen Brothers part of the film, where it was just, and no surprise, it was the funniest part, too.
And the other Martin Short character, or the character that could have been played by Martin Short, was the other funniest part of this film, which is this, like, old man.
The 87-year-old.
Partner at the law firm that Clooney works at. And he's just, like, terrifying and looks like skull and bones.
Yeah, he's literally hooked up to machines at his desk that keep him alive. And he subscribes to magazines that, what's it called? Living without intestines.
Yeah. Just he really is just barely alive, but he's still running things at the firm and still worried about bringing in the money, billable hours.
It really was old-fashioned, especially that part where they're talking to this guy and you assume he's some sort of thug because he's this huge guy and he keeps breathing. He has this labored breathing and he has this inhaler. And George Clooney asks real innocently, "Are you Wheezy Joe?"
Stuff like that is so funny. And I do think that this movie is underrated in their filmography because, again, it's their 10th film. It's kind of right in the middle, but it's so good. It's so funny. It's such a good rewatch. I would rewatch this just like I'd rewatch Lebowski or Raising Arizona. And I'm sure I will at some point.
Yeah, it really is. It has a lot of laughs. And like I said, the characters are the kind that you kind of can watch over and over, I think, probably, and feel differently about them each time.
And there's so many goofy twists in it, too, which we do not want to spoil, because, again, this is probably one of their more underseen films, so we're going to try so hard not to spoil it. But Billy Bob Thornton makes an appearance in this film, and he does a great job. He plays this, I guess, an Aggie, right? He went to Texas A&M,
right,
which is kind of crazy, because even though y'all will be listening to this in a few months, we just saw The Fablemans, which they also mentioned Texas A&M. And it's so funny because, like, what kind of movie mentions A&M?
He's a Texas oil man, right?
Yes, he is.
Rich Texas oil man.
Yes. And it's, when she starts dating him, she starts wearing, like, all that country rodeo chic kind of outfits, which is so funny. And the wardrobe in this film is really good, too. Or maybe she's just beautiful. But every dress she wears, she looks so good.
And his suits are very nice,
But it was just almost shocking how beautiful she is. Because I haven't seen that many movies with her in it. And I think she's one of those people, I was telling y'all off mic, but I think she may just look better in real life and on screen. Because there's some photos of her. I mean, she's beautiful, but I'm not, like, in love. But when I was watching this, my jaw was dropped. I was like, how do I get a face transplant, you know?
I know. She is one of the most beautiful actresses, for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny because it had been so long since we'd seen this. I could have sworn this came out before Lebowski, before Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
I thought so.
Lebowski was 5 years before this, and wow. Oh Brother was 3 years before, so they were already at the top of their game. They were getting, and then Fargo was before that, 96.
It's funny. I think they just did this for fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, why is this movie made?
Yeah, just kind of a fun little movie they wanted to make.
Yeah, and I think if you read up on it, I think it's one of those, and it kind of had that feel, too, that it had been in, what do they call it, in production or in talks. I mean, it had been optioned several times, and they had written the original screenplay many years ago. And they finally came back and said, let's go ahead and make this film. And they waited for Clooney to finish some role he was doing, and they did it. And it does seem like a fun little homage to the studio system or something.
I think it did kind of have that feel of an old-fashioned, like, 1930s or 40s.
Yeah, the charming rascal and the upper
Cary
class.
Grant.
Yes, yes.
And Irene Dunne or somebody.
Very. What did we say? It was a lot like The Awful Truth.
Yeah, The Awful Truth.
There were a lot of similarities to that. And you know what? The reason why this doesn't feel as Coen-y is because there are four screenwriters on this film.
Oh, that's right.
Robert Ramsey and Matthew Stone also wrote it with the Coen brothers. And I think what happened was initially the screenplay was attached to Ron Howard, and then it moved to Jonathan Demme. So I think this was kind of one of those movies that was just, like, tossed around, and it was probably a production nightmare. Took forever for a studio to back it. That's probably why it cost so much money to make, because there were just all these bad factors. But that I can see maybe those two other screenwriters are more Hollywood and more commercial or something.
Well, yeah, talk about star power. We already talked about how charming they both are, but it shows that they had their fans, because this cost $60 million and made $160 million or something. It was a huge hit, you know?
And there were a lot of other stars in this film. Jeffrey Rush, or is it Joffrey?
It's Jeffrey, yeah. Yeah, he starts things off and you think he's going to play this huge role. It was really funny, basically.
What an insane.
He catches his wife with a boyfriend.
With a pool boy.
He's a pool boy.
They have no pool.
And they don't have a pool. It's just classic one-liner.
So she has some explaining to do.
And then Cedric the Entertainer, who I've never seen in a movie.
You've never seen him? Yeah.
I don't think so.
He's been around. Does he still do stuff?
Why is his name Cedric the Entertainer?
Well, he's a
crazy name.
Pretty much a stand-up comic, right? He's in movies too, yeah.
I see. Well, he's really funny in it. I don't think they use his character enough. I think there are, like, major plot holes in the movie where you just kind of forget about him. And then, like, at the very end, he pops up again. And then we got, who else was in this movie? Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, Richard Jenkins is randomly in it as, he doesn't as her do that attorney. Much. But his assistant was really great. Good, and he hasn't come out, and I haven't seen him in anything else. I think he's a theater guy. But he was great. He was very Philip Seymour Hoffman-like, as we mentioned in the Lebowski. Just a little toady, his little assistant, you know.
And we should credit who he actually was, because he did do such a good job. I think it was Paul Adelstein.
Yeah, Paul Adelstein, yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He played his lawyer and partner in the firm, or not partner probably, but just assistant, but he was also a lawyer. And they also had a scene, a Coen Brothers scene, where a classic, where two grown men are looking at each other, just yelling at each other, just like in, what was it, Raising Arizona, you know?
Yes.
There's nothing else you can do. They're so shocked by the turn of events that they have to scream, you know?
And Edward Herrmann is also in his film.
Yeah, and that was kind of unsettling, because Edward Herrmann was a big actor way back when, or not that big, but he was always known for playing FDR, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
He was the dad in Gilmore Girls.
He was, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was playing this ridiculous, you know, philanderer, this, you know, just... who loved trains, you know.
He's just a ridiculous person. Yeah, a silly man.
He was a silly man, yeah. And you know, he died. I didn't realize he died. Like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
I knew he died because in the Gilmore Girls reunion, they have to like have a big thing about
that. Was he good in that?
He was. He was like the sweet, rich dad. The mom was the one who was kind of problematic.
Funny when they wrote that, I think they said they wanted him for it, but he was, again, not, I keep saying he's a big actor, but he was a name. He did a lot of theater, did a lot of movies, and he read for it and he got the part. Isn't that funny?
That is crazy. Well, I wonder what the Coen brothers would think of Gilmore Girls. Probably not much. But I do think that, speaking of Gilmore Girls, I think like the audience for this movie is just like so wide. I think anyone can enjoy this film. I mean, even though we love Big Lebowski and you guys heard us rave about that film earlier on in the series, I guess everyone can like that movie, but well, maybe not.
It's funny. We were talking about No Country for Old Men earlier, mm-hmm. and that's...
which is coming up in the series.
Like kind of the opposite of this. If this is just for pure laughs, that is very serious. But in a lot of ways, I think these are the two films that maybe just the average person who's not a Coen Brothers fan could like.
And I mean, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou too, but it may just take a little bit to get into it. And
yes,
these two movies,
that's still a little bit more quirky.
Yes. Oh, it definitely is. Yeah, I think that's the thing. People do not realize that they can like things that are a little quirky, you know? Maybe it makes them uncomfortable for a second and then they just turn it off. But like, no, I mean, Strangelove, y'all know what's up. But people just need to give things a chance because, I mean, you could really enjoy the most insane things, especially Coen Brother films.
Yes, definitely. And I think, like I said, I mean, No Country for Old Men is real serious and violent and da-da-da. But I think that it would remind a lot of people of other movies that they like.
Or they grew up watching.
And I think Intolerable Cruelty also is just the sort of thing that you can turn on, and even if you turn it on in the middle, you can get some laughs out of it.
1,000%.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it was rather traditional, but it still had those quirky little characters and that crazy courtroom scene, and yeah, I don't know, it was just very Coen Brothers-like, and I would even call it Coen Brothers light, if you will. You know, it wasn't the hardcore Lebowski insanity, or even Fargo too, the little world, the little microcosm, although in some ways it was, right? The divorce attorneys and the women comparing divorce attorneys, and they all knew who they were, and they were just wanted a next husband so they could get the next payout, and just that satire.
It was kind of a really making fun of, I think, Hollywood and California too.
And what I've loved recently is that, okay, so for the past two summers I worked at a country club at the pool, and there are so many films with scenes of people at the country club pool. And I wish they were, it was not like that. I'll be honest.
There was some good gossip.
Yeah, maybe in Beverly Hills where they were supposed to be, but it's not actually like that. But I always just find it really amusing because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm their staff. I'm their waiter. Anyway, let's get to ratings. How many?
Kilts.
Kilts. We're not going to explain that one because that's a really good, funny part of this film.
Classic sight gag.
But how many kilts would we give this film? Mom, do you want to start?
Yes. Well, it's hard. I think I'd say probably a 3.75 because I think it was really entertaining and really funny, but it wasn't a great film. I mean, didn't have a whole lot to say. It was just entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would give it a 3.5, 3.75, same difference. because 3.75 actually isn't allowed, Mom.
I know, but this movie is about cheating spouses, so I can be a cheating podcaster.
Okay, fair point. But I would give it 3.5 kilts because, yeah, I mean, it was fairly empty, but it was a really good time, and there are scenes I'm definitely going to remember.
I'm going to give it a 3.65 kilts.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of five. That's going too far.
Oh, that's too far?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, before we...
But what's funny, I didn't finish.
Ugh.
If I'd given it a rating back before podcasts were invented, I would think I would have given it like a 2. I remember not liking it at all. Almost like, riff.
I just put it out of my mind.
Well, did you see it in theaters?
Yeah, we saw it at the theater. I remember liking it, but we were a little disappointed.
But I don't remember a thing about it. So maybe we did only see it that one time. But the second time, that's the thing. That's a real good point. Like, if you don't like something, but you laugh a couple times and you think, okay, that's worthwhile. I'm glad we saw it again because it was a lot funnier. We laughed a lot more, and I remember laughing at it the first time.
You know? Me too.
And it's kind of funny because this movie came out in 2003, so as we get further into the series, when I think about it, y'all probably had to hire a babysitter or something to go see this movie in theaters, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was the baby in question. Or unless you took me to Intolerable Cruelty, I'm not sure.
I kind of doubt that.
But follow us on Instagram at Strangelove Media. Visit our website, strangelovemovies.com, for a blog post about this film and every other film we've reviewed, including all of our Coen Brothers series thus far. Their next episode will be... This was episode 10 of our series. The next episode will be Lady Killers. Oh my goodness. We haven't watched it yet. So do not say that yet. We will see how it is next week, though. Again, this was Intolerable Cruelty, and we will see you next time. Bye.